I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about presidential 100 days.
So grab your promises.
And let's get civical. Hello, everybody.
Oh, my God. Hi. Welcome back.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
To Let's Get Civical. I'm Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski. Still.
Hasn't changed. No name changes. It's good that we're addressing this. We haven't changed anything about our names or our branding. We're still the same gals that we were when we started this. 2 years ago?
Oh my God, honey, it's my longest relationship.
Oh my God, literally, same.
Same.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we parent so well together.
We do parent well together. We are common law, married. What is that rule? It has to be 10 years before you're common law?
I think it's 10 years. Listen, okay, so we're going to do this for at least another 8 years. And then when I die, you can have all of my political books.
Perfect. As long as I'm in the will. That's my thing. I don't need... like fancy stuff. I just want to be in a will. In the will.
Oh, honey, I will put you in my will. You fear not. You will get something in the event of my death.
I don't have a will.
My will is written on a napkin and crayon.
Okay, the fact that you say crayon is still not something I can get behind. So I don't know if this will get me written out of.
What do you?
Crayon.
Crayon? That is so much
crayon?
Work.
Crayon?
Crayon.
It's not C-R-A-N, ya lazy. It's crayon. Crayonwards and upwards, darling.
Crayon.
Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
Crayon.
Oh, I'm traumatized. It's like Oregon all over again. And I said it wrong.
Although this one, like, this is a real fight that people have, is the pronunciation of crayon, crayon. Oregon, there's no debate.
Oregon is just a thing I consistently get wrong because...
Correct.
I am me and I am who I am.
You are who you are, and this podcast is what this podcast is.
This is correct.
But anywho, we're not talking about Will's crayons or Oregon. Today, we're talking about, a thing. I don't know how to, like, describe what it is, but it's like this.
It's just a concept.
A concept,
like a marker of time.
It is a marker of time. I mean, it's a literal marker of time.
It's a literal marker of time. But more importantly, it's like a concept, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're talking about the presidential 100 days. It's something that we're hearing a lot about because Biden is coming up on his 100 days. And it's this kind of much more recent than I thought about concept that we've been using to, like, the big thing is, like, what I'm going to do in my first 100 days in office. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this, this, that, and this.
Yep.
It's become very much a thing, especially in modern politics. And since we're approaching Biden's 100 days, we thought, let's take a look at the global concept of it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So before we jump in, let's go over our Saoirse Ronan sources.
And we both have Saoirse Ronan sources today.
We do. Do you want to do yours first?
Sure. Mine are from Vox, US News, NPR, 538. And the 538 one is interesting. I'll read it when I get there. But it's like a transcript of a conversation on one of their podcasts. So there's a bunch of names attached to it. And the American Presidency Project from UC Santa Barbara.
I love it. And then my sources are, of course, Herstory.com, Forbes, the Truman Library. Mm. You'll never guess what I pulled from there. And PBS, because she's
Adorable.
My girl.
She's your girl. Adorable.
She's my girl. So before we get into specific presidencies and their 100 days, just wanted to give a brief overview of, like, where, like, why we even came up with this, like, where this idea of, you know what, let's start thinking about their 100 days. So where this comes from. So these notes are coming from history.com. Ooh, and another source that I forgot to put in my original list, mountvernon.org. So the George Washington.
Like the Mount House. Vernon.
Like the Mount Vernon, the one and the only. So this is from history.com. Quote, the 100 days concept is believed to have its roots in, you guessed it, France.
Oh.
Where the concept of Saint, oh dear, jus, jours?
Jour.
J-O, jour? Bonjour. Like, oh, like du jour.
Yes, because it's day.
Saint jour.
It's, Saint?
I mean, you speak French.
Jour, yeah.
Saint?
Yeah.
Jour.
Jour.
Saint jour?
Yeah.
100 days. Refers to the period of 1815 between Napoleon Bonaparte's return to Paris from exile on the island. Did I say it wrong?
I love that you said Bonaparte.
I always see it and think Bonaparte. Bonaparte. I know it's Bonaparte.
But it's,
but
I like the way
it's, that sounds more Italian though.
It does sound more Italian, but I kind of like it and I kind of think he would hate it and that makes me laugh even more.
Sure. This is a big FU to Napoleon.
Oh, absolutely. Big middle finger.
So the 100 days, it referred to the time between Bonaparte's return to Paris from exile on the island of Elba and his final defeat at the Battle of Waterloo, after which King Louis the 13th?
18.
No, the 18th, sorry. I can't read Roman numerals.
It's hard.
King Louis the 18th regained the French throne. So that's kind of where this idea of, like, why 100 days? We can tie it back all the way to France. Another little historical tidbit. So George Washington's first 100 days in history. So by the end of this period, this is This is so funny to read his 100 days in comparison to everybody else's.
Oh my God. He was like setting up government, check.
Exactly. So the new government had passed the Bill of Rights. It established the principle of national taxation, designed the nation's court system, and created the first executive department.
I mean, how do you top that? You don't, is the answer. Like, everything after that is just trying to fix those original, like, the problems that arose unforeseen from those original actions.
From his 100 days.
We're always trying to fix Washington's government.
Yeah. Mount Vernon continues with, "This list of accomplishments is remarkable, but it does not even include the greatest achievement of Washington's first 100 days, which was he established the very office of the president."
Okay, go off.
I go off. I mean, literally flex.
Flex.
Literally flex. Mm-hmm. "It gave legitimacy to the new federal government under the Constitution." So,
j'adore, as Lizzie would say.
J'adore. J'adore. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Obviously, we weren't looking at Washington's 100 days at the time in the same way that, like, we look at the 100 days now. Like, this just happened to happen in his first 100 days.
I also, like, if you held him to that marker at the time and were like, "Washington, what are you going to do in your first 100 days? You'd be like, "Fuck you, I'm not running." Like, I came into this begrudgingly. Here. So, like, if you don't like my actions in the first 100 days, get some other dude.
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell
I
you.
I don't know what to
Find
tell you.
Find somebody else to love.
Please. So, many years pass. We're skipping ahead to the 20th century when what we know as the concept of the presidential 100 days started. Like, the reason why we started measuring presidencies off of the 100 days, and you guessed it, it was because of FDR.
Oh, great.
I mean, makes sense. So this is coming from history.com. "In the United States, no one talked that much about the importance of a president's first 100 days until Franklin D. Roosevelt took office in 1933. He took swift action to calm the nation's crippling financial panic using things like the Emergency Banking Act and fireside chats. We'll talk about those in the next section. And began rolling out programs that made up his New Deal, including 15 major pieces of legislation in the first 100 days. FDR's extraordinary productivity translated into enormous popularity, and he set a first 100-day standard against which all future U.S. presidents would, perhaps unfairly, be measured."
I feel like that is unfair.
So, I mean, but here's the thing. Yeah, it's kind of crazy because FDR inherited the Great Depression. Like, he came in, dust everywhere, the crash had happened. And so, yeah, as I've said many times, I'm like, if I was FDR, you just have to do, like, he just was throwing everything. Yeah. He was like,
spaghetti against the wall.
Everything at the wall. Yeah. Yes. And hoping something stuck. And what stuck was the New Deal. And it was like, okay, great. Let's get us going. Let's get us back. Let's get the jobs. And since then, it's just been this thing that we do where we're like, okay, well, 100 days, what's your FDR moment going to be?
Yeah.
You know,
how are you going to save this nation?
Yes. How are you literally going to save this nation is the question for every president's first 100 days.
And they all promise things now. Because we haven't been saved.
Yeah.
We haven't. I feel like, you know, it's a Jesus savior moment. If there ever was one in the presidential 100 days, we're always looking for somebody to save us.
Yes.
And I feel like that's you can only save yourself. And
you can only save yourself.
We will always
be disappointed. Please put on your oxygen mask.
Before you put on anyone else's. Including that exactly of right. children, which always freaked me out. But whatever.
Always felt weird.
And I would never
Save
do
the
that.
Children.
I'd be like, "Here, child, here is your breathing oxygen. I will now do mine."
It's like, stop gasping. Mommy's putting on her oxygen mask. Like, what do you
Just hold the phone. Jesus Christ. Can you
just
wait?
Literally
be patient.
Stop.
Just stop.
Drama queen.
I know you can't breathe, but God. Okay. So, like Lizzie said, there was this huge break. So we're going to talk about FDR's first 100 days. I'm going to guess they're, like, quite busy.
They're busy. You'll notice that his section is so much longer than the rest of the ones that I covered.
Great.
Because I was like, all right, if we're gonna start this concept at FDR, let's talk about Franklin Delano Roosevelt and what he did.
Yeah. So this is coming from Forbes and Digital History. On his inauguration day, he said, quote, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." And honestly, on a personal note, I love that phrase. Like, I have, like, I think I heard that phrase as, like, a young child. Like, I don't even know where. I couldn't tell you. Like, in a book, probably, maybe. But, like, that is a phrase that I repeat quite frequently in my own brain.
It's your mantra.
It's my mantra. I really do love that phrase.
I love it. I think I would edit it ever so slightly to say the only thing we have to fear is fear itself and giant squids. Because we don't know what they're up to.
No, you never see them coming.
You never see them coming. Mm-mm. In fact, the fact that we've never, like, seen one that's living, they just exist in the depths of the ocean that we can't reach.
Absolutely.
Or colossal squids, whichever one is bigger. I forget. I think the colossal squid is the biggest. They're so big.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen it. Mm. We don't know what they're capable of.
That's sketchy. I don't like that.
I don't like it at all. Mm-mm, so the only thing we have to fear is fear itself and colossal squids.
Agreed. We're going to stick it on
that. That would be my inauguration.
You would have a great inauguration. Your inauguration would bomb. That'd be the best part.
It would be literally, it would be like a tailgate. Uh-huh. It would be like a rodeo. It would be like a ball.
Sean Astin would come.
Sean Astin would be the person who swears me into office, obviously.
Absolutely, obviously.
I wouldn't have anybody else do it.
Phil Collins would play.
Phil Collins would obviously play. I would cry. They would have to sedate me at some point, which is the best part.
The best part, because they'd be like, the president is incapacitated.
The president. And then my vice president would have to take over.
And they would have to take over for the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see it now. Oh my God.
I am who I am.
So then in Roosevelt's first 100 days in office, like Lizzie said, he pushed 15 major bills through Congress. The bills would reshape every aspect of the economy from banking and industry to agriculture and social welfare. The president promised decisive action. He called Congress into special session and demanded, quote, broad executive power to wage a war against the emergency, as great as the power that would be given me if we were in fact invaded by a foreign foe, close quote. He's like, yes, we might as well be at war because we're dying of starvation and things are collapsing and this is an emergency. So is somebody at our shores? No.
No.
But they might as well be.
It's a metaphorical war. Yeah. It's not a literal war in the traditional context, but broaden your minds, people. Yeah.
We are a nation at war. It is not a Cold War because the Cold War was still like with other countries. This is an emergency. I feel like he needed like a FEMA. Like he would have enjoyed a well-run FEMA.
Oh my God. I think he would have loved it. In fact, I feel like we have FEMA because of sort of the things that he initially did in response to the Great Depression.
Agreed. So less than 2 days after his inauguration, FDR issued a Proclamation 2039, which halted all banking activity for a week. This so-called bank holiday was imposed to stop a series of bank runs that were destroying people's livelihoods and deepening the economic crisis.
I just love that he was like, why don't we just stop for a second? Mm-hmm. Let's just stop this thing that's actively destroying us from the inside out.
Yeah.
Like nobody else thought to put a pause on the banks.
No, he was like, no, because people only dealt in cash and people were like, give me all of my money. And then the banks couldn't loan money because they didn't have money to loan because it was all done in cash. And he was like, no, stop.
Nope. No more banks. Stop. No more banking. Mm-mm. Let's just hold on. Let's just wait a week.
You can wait. And then in just 4 days, his aides drafted the Emergency Banking Relief Act, which permitted solvent banks to reopen under government supervision and allowed the RFC to buy the stock of troubled banks and to keep them open until they could be reorganized.
4 days.
4 days. We couldn't, like, I don't know.
I haven't done anything in 4 days.
No, I showered, maybe.
It's taken me 5 days to clean my apartment, much less reorganize a banking system. Like, come on.
The law also gave the president broad powers over the Federal Reserve System. The law radically reshaped the nation's banking system, and Congress passed the law in just 8 hours.
I mean,
come
on. Slap to the face.
Slap to the face.
Slap to the face.
Roosevelt appealed directly to the people to generate support for his program. On March 12th, he conducted the first of many radio fireside chats, which I absolutely love, and I feel like we should bring those back. Like, we have podcasting now.
It was the original podcast.
It's
the original podcast.
I would love if Biden was like, here's what's up, people. Like, in a podcast, I don't need you, like, in the Rose Garden or at the Resolute Desk or whatever.
No.
It's just a casual, talk to me. Just a casual 15-minute show.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah. Hey, this is me. Just having my evening tea.
What are you doing? Isn't this
so here's
crazy?
The thing about banks.
Here's the thing about banks. So using the radio in the way later presidents exploited television, he explained what he had done in plain, simple terms and told the public to have, quote, confidence and courage. When the banks reopened the following day, people demonstrated their faith by making more deposits than withdrawals, which, like, would not happen now. People would be like,
wow,
I can get all my money again? Gimme.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to deposit shit.
No.
Bye.
I don't have money to deposit. I mean, not granted, like, the structure of our money is vastly different. Like, I couldn't rub $2 bills between me, but that's not because I don't have money. I just don't carry cash.
Oh, yeah. I never carry cash. I'm so bad with carrying cash.
I never carry cash. One of Roosevelt's key advisors did not exaggerate when he later boasted, quote, capitalism was saved in 8 days.
Oh.
I know. Sweet.
Boast, honey.
I know. You go off. The president quickly pushed ahead on other fronts. The Federal Emergency Relief Act pumped $500 million into state-run welfare programs. The Homeowners Loan Act provided the first federal mortgage financing and loan guarantees. And by the end of Roosevelt's first term, the Homeowners Loan Act provided more than 1 million loans, totaling $3 billion.
Jesus Christ.
That's so much money. The Glass-Steagall Act provided a federal guarantee of all bank deposits under $5,000, separated commercial and investment banking, and strengthened the Federal Reserve's ability to stabilize the economy. Like, this is like when you go into any bank or credit union and they're like, FDIC insured. Like, this is where it started. They're like, your money is here, your money is guaranteed, we will give you money. Like, if you deposit... it's higher than $5,000 now. I forget what it is. But, like, if you deposit $10,000 in this bank, like, we will guarantee you that it will be here when you come back for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, like, something that I can't believe we didn't have beforehand.
No, people were just, like, sticking their money in banks and being like, fingers crossed.
Hold this.
Hold my beer and my money.
Hold my beer, please. I'll be right back. Like, what?
What?
Absolutely not.
Crazy. In addition, Roosevelt took the nation off the gold standard, devalued the dollar, and ordered the Federal Reserve System to ease credit. Other important laws passed during the 100 days included the Agricultural Adjustment Act, the nation's first system of agricultural price and production supports. Yes, because there was no food.
We have to have food.
We have to have food. We have to have
That's
grain
what they don't tell
to
you,
make
we
the
have
bread.
To have food.
Right, to get the people out of the bread lines.
Mm-hmm.
There was also the National Industrial Recovery Act. It was the first major attempt to plan and regulate the economy. And the Tennessee Valley Authority Act, which was the first direct government involvement in energy production. Like, hand in every pot, honey. Yes, take control. Show me. Use your power.
Take control. Take the reins.
Put me over. Take control.
There's dust everywhere.
Yes.
I'm all about it. I know not everything ended up being great, but I will always respect him for coming in and being like, bow, 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 bow. Here's a legislation. There's a legislation. Let's go, everybody. Let's get going.
Yeah.
So all that to say, the reason why we spend so much time on Roosevelt is because, like we said before, he really set the standard of these 100 days that that now we have this concept that we hold presidents to, which is, what are you gonna do in your 100 days?
Yeah.
And nobody has ever come close to FDR, obviously.
No, but that dude set a standard.
Yeah, he set a standard. But the first person that I'm gonna talk about who also did a lot, who I think is probably, I would say, the closest person to doing as much as FDR did, was his predecessor, Harry S. Truman. And this is not surprising because obviously Harry S. Truman inherits the presidency. We're in World War II, right? He's trying to end a world war. There's a lot going on post-war. So all of these notes are coming from, you guessed it, the Truman Library, which I've been to, we all know.
I'm so jealous. You've been to so many more like libraries and museums than I have. It's a situation.
Because I'm a nerd.
I am a nerd. I simply am not going to the right places when I am on vacation.
You're not going to New York's hottest club, which is the Truman Library. So, quote, President Truman's first 100 days in office were a whirlwind of activity, including the end of the war in Europe, planning for the post-war world with other world leaders, gathering at Potsdam, the successful testing of the first atomic bomb, the establishment of the United Nations, and planning for the end of the war in the Pacific. No small feat for a man who had only met with President Roosevelt twice during his 82 days as vice president and didn't even know about the existence of the bomb.
Oh,
so
that's a rude awakening. You're now president. Guess what? We have a lethal weapon.
We have a bomb. And he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You guys, let's drop it twice. In addition to overseeing and planning the ending of a two-front war and planning the peace, Truman also issued 52 executive orders, delivered 10 proclamations, and held 14 press conferences, and received one honorary degree.
That's amazing.
This is all from the Truman Library, so it's very, very celebratory.
Yes.
But I wanted to add one final note, which is on Truman's 116th day as president.
Okay.
So this is, you know, little after. On August 6th, the U.S. dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima, then on Nagasaki 3 days later. Japan surrendered on August 14th. So this is something that I think, like, and eventually we'll obviously cover World War II, but the war ended at two different times. You know, like, we ended with Europe. And then we had to finish in the Pacific. So that actually happened months later.
Yeah.
So World War II did not end with defeating Germany. It actually fully ended with the surrender of Japan. So, yeah. So that's Truman's 100 days is basically ending the war twice, dropping two atomic bombs, an honorary degree.
Okay. So small. What an underachiever.
So small. Underachiever. But yeah, in context of, like, who's doing a ton, I think Truman is probably the next.
Yeah.
I don't want to say productive, but, like, as far as events, a lot happened in the 100 days.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
So the next person I'm going to talk about after him is JFK. And his was, I couldn't find a ton about his 100 days because it all focused on this one event that really started him off on a bad note.
Oh.
Because he ordered during his 100 days the ill-fated Bay of Pigs invasion.
Uh-huh.
And this was 87 days into his presidency. And at this time, the U.S. was locked in the Cold War with the USSR. So Bay of Pigs, bungled invasion, went very poorly for U.S. And it started JFK off on a rough note. Rough note. Also on a rough note, it during his first 100 days saw, that's when the Soviets launched the first human into space. So this is when the space race really begins.
He was big on the space race.
He was huge. I mean, ended up going to the moon and ended up getting to the moon before the Russians or before the Soviets at this point. But the space race, everybody was freaked out that the Russians were going to get there first. We were behind. We were behind in his first 100 days. They got to the outside. Before anybody.
Yep.
So that's JFK. And then last, I just wanted to get, I mean, he didn't do a ton, but Gerald Ford, in September of 1974, barely 1 month into his presidency, Gerald Ford gave Richard Nixon a full pardon for his involvement in the Watergate scandal that led to his resignation. So eventually, we'll have an episode on Watergate and all of the nuts and bolts surrounding that because I love crime.
Yep.
The reason why Gerald Ford ended up becoming president is because obviously Nixon said, I am not a crook, and then resigned. So wasn't impeached, but would have been probably. So Gerald Ford became president. And then one of the first things he does is he gives Nixon, who is so clearly guilty.
Yes.
Like the tapes, again. The Nixon tapes. What was that? We did the Supreme Court.
We did the episode on it, and I forget what her name was. It was a Southern, like, Mary Beth.
His
secretary, who's like, I was stretching to answer the phone, and then the picture is her, like, with, like, basically, like, spread eagle across, like, the length of the desk, where she somehow is supposed to, like, answer the phone and delete the message, and you're like, all right, I smell a lie in this room.
I smell a lie, yeah. So Nixon, as guilty as could be, Gerald Ford comes in and he's like, you know what? I pardon you for your crimes and your sins. So widespread condemnation of Ford's decision to pardon his predecessor is thought to have contributed to his failure to win the 1976 election.
Yes,
so,
because people want people, like, wrongdoers to be held accountable, and that man let one go.
Like, I mean, we had it on the tapes, yep. Gerald. On the tapes. Like, if we didn't have the tapes and it was like, this just looks really, really bad, that would be one thing.
Yes.
But we had, I mean, he was guilty of sin, mm-hmm. you know? So he deserved repercussions. Yes. He committed a crime as commander-in-chief. And Gerald Ford said,
because you were the president, I'm going to pardon you.
And I think established a bad precedent of not holding commanders-in-chiefs accountable.
Yeah.
So those were a couple of folks that I wanted to focus on, leading us up to kind of what I would consider our more modern day presidencies. So
yeah.
Do you want to start us off with Ronald?
Ronald Reagan. So in the modern day, we're going to talk about Ronald Reagan, Trump, only because Trump's list of the things that he was going to do in the first 100 days was like, okay.
Sure.
And then like, I found an article that was really fun that was like, did this happen? No. Did this happen? Kinda. Did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
And then, of course, we'll talk about Biden because we're coming up on his 100 days, which was like the inspiration for the episode. So
mm-hmm.
Reagan's 100 days. In November of 1980, Ronald Reagan was elected president in a landslide over Democratic incumbent, the love of our lives. Nobody else.
It hurts.
It hurts.
It hurts.
Jimmy Carter.
Me.
Jimmy Carter.
James.
I know. Oh God. They just didn't know what they had.
They didn't know. We didn't know. We didn't appreciate.
They didn't appreciate.
Oh my God. James Earl Carter Jr.
Hmm. Oh. Americans decided that the country, driven by economic distress and international embarrassment, needed a big change, and that Reagan's conservative government is the problem philosophy was worth a try.
Sure.
All right.
I mean, you know, when you talk about two people being vastly opposite, we've got it with Carter and Reagan.
Yes.
So
Carter and Trump are the only people who could be further apart.
For sure. For sure.
In his first 100 days, Reagan made moves to establish his small government bona fides, signing a major budget cut package, pushing for executive branch cost reductions, and pledging to shrink the federal workforce. Yeah, because that's where you're going to save. I mean, like, yes, you will save money, but like, that's where you're going to cut the biggest part of the budget is the federal. Like, okay. In February 1981, he sent to Congress what some political scientists called some of the most sweeping revisions of budget and tax policy ever attempted. The cornerstones of his plan were an across-the-board tax cut and an effort to reduce the size and growth of the federal government. Reagan had argued for years that the government was getting too powerful and intrusive. This was his chance to convert his rhetoric into action, and that's what he did. And that's all coming from U.S. News and Vox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he did.
He did do what he was going to do. Like, he did do what he said, whether that was a good thing, whether the consequences of that were good.
That's neither here nor there.
Right.
But homeboy came in and was like, let's cut it.
Let's cut it. Let's cut it. Reagan used his first 100 days very effectively to undermine his adversaries in Congress, according to Princeton historian Julian Salazar, who says, quote, the president used the bully pulpit to overcome opposition among House Democrats, building support for the cuts. He gave a speech on television urging citizens to write their legislators and tell them to support the cuts. House Democrats, the now sole base for the party in Washington, joined in once they saw public pressure. In fact, they pushed for tax cuts on their own, which were rolled into the bill. By the end of the bidding process, Reagan could claim victory on Capitol Hill, and his key legislation had drawn the support of his opposition. So not only did he win by just, like, winning his own party, the Democrats were also like, mm-hmm. okay, we see the writing
okay.
on the wall.
We'll cut to,
yay.
All right, sounds good.
Tax cuts.
We feel pressured. Okay.
The other major thing that happened in his first 100 days was also that he got shot.
I'm not laughing that Reagan got shot.
No.
I don't obviously believe in violence of any kind, but the way you just approached that, I thought we were about to go into like, also he, you know, established like a farming program, or he did this or whatever. And then you're just like, also, he got shot. So
he got shot.
That's sad.
That's sad.
Reagan did get shot. Yep.
Did not have much bearing on his success of the first 100 days, but it is, according to Vox, one of the crazier things to happen in the first few months of a presidency. Obviously, yes. They haven't looked at Washington's track record. That motherfucker was crazy.
What's crazier, so getting shot or a Bill of Rights?
You tell me. One feels very Tuesday afternoon vibe, and one feels very Saturday night vibe, and I just...
Was Reagan the one that the attempted assassin, shot at him because of Jodie Foster?
I think that is right.
I think that's right.
Yes.
Which adds another layer to the story.
Absolutely insane. What did Jodie Foster ever do to you? Nothing. She's amazing. The assassination attempt also solidified Reagan's reputation among his supporters for wit and calm in the face of crisis. As he was wheeled into the operating room, he joked to the surgeons, quote, please tell me you're Republicans, close quote.
Please.
Please tell me you're Republicans. The attempt on his life by a disturbed publicity seeker on March 30th, a little bit more than 2 months into his administration, was when the shooting happened. John Hinckley's bullets were fired from a small crowd as Reagan was leaving a Washington hotel after a speech, and it nearly killed, the assassination attempt nearly killed the 70-year-old president, but Reagan survived, and in the process, demonstrated grit, bravery, and a sense of humor, which, as Americans, we love.
We love a good joke.
We love a shot to health story.
Yeah.
We love a sense of humor.
Look, I don't want any president ever to get assassinated. That is obviously, regardless of ideology, it's always abhorrent.
I'm very weary about wishing death and sickness on people. I just feel like morally it's questionable.
It's not what we want. We don't want anybody to die. We don't want anybody to be ill. We just want accountability,
yes.
I think, is what people want.
Yes.
And that is never in the way of physical harm.
No.
Period. Hot take.
So, and then what also helped Reagan in his first 100 days was his powerful communication skills. I don't know if you know this, Lizzie, he was a former actor.
An artist.
An artist. A multi-hyphenate, if there ever was one. Really a triple threat.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a former actor in movies and television, and he was able to appeal directly to the public through frequent speeches and televised addresses from the Oval Office. He could command a camera, and Americans quickly came to like him, even if many disagreed with his policies. They were like, I like that dude. What he said is bad shit, but I kind of like that dude.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Trump's 100 days, and this is coming from NPR and Vox. So Trump's defenders argue that the presidency has a steep learning curve, especially for someone who has never held office before. True. Mm-hmm. But when the best defense of your first 100 days is that maybe you learned enough that the next 100 days won't be as bad, it's a pretty good sign you're at the back of the pack. This is an article from Vox going in. I mean, yeah, it's like there's...
Yeah.
I understand the argument for an appeal of a non-politician type of person and, you know, pulling somebody who doesn't have the background of a politician because of distrust. Totally hear that. But on the same, at the same time, it's...
You get what you get and you can't get upset.
You know, if there is truly no foundation for how the government works, civics education, really...
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of missteps and a lot of a steep learning curve for sure.
Because you're like, what is that agency? What do they do?
Can I do this? They do that? Yeah.
Yeah. How do we find somebody to run that department?
Yeah. Trump said, quote, what follows is my 100-day action plan to make America great again. It is a contract between myself and the American voter and begins with restoring honesty, accountability, and change to Washington. Therefore, on the first day of my term of office, my administration will immediately pursue the following 6 measures to clean up the corruption and special interest collusion in Washington, D.C. So here are some of the things that he promised at the top for his first 100 days, and they run the gamut of categories. So the first one he promised was to propose a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on all members of Congress. So that did not happen. We do not have term limits on members of Congress. We've done an episode on congressional term limits, so please go and listen to that if you're curious to learn what that would be like, what that looks like, et cetera, et cetera. But that was something he promised. That did not happen. Another thing is a hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce federal workforce through, attrition. Wow. That's exempting military, public safety, and public health federal employees, so anybody but those folks.
Yep.
And he did sign a presidential memorandum ordering a federal hiring freeze that exempted military personnel and positions necessary for national security. But on April 12th, the administration lifted the freeze. So did, but then didn't.
Did, but then didn't. Both within the 100 days.
Yes. Another thing that he promised was a requirement that for every new federal regulation, two existing regulations must be eliminated. So what ended up happening is on January 30th, Trump signed an executive order that says just that. The directive exempted regulations related to military, national security, and foreign affairs. Sure. Rolling back regulations has long been a goal of the Republican and Democratic administrations. So he did end up doing that.
Yep.
And then another thing he promised was to announce the withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So on January 23rd, Trump did sign a presidential memorandum directing the U.S. Trade Representative to pull the United States out of the trade deal. Quote saying, I hereby direct you to withdraw the United States as a signatory to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or the TPP, to permanently withdraw the United States from TPP negotiations and to begin pursuing, wherever possible, bilateral trade negotiations to promote American industry, protect American workers, and raise American wages. But as NPR's Brian Naylor has reported, leaving TPP was largely symbolic since Congress has never actually ratified the Obama administration-backed deal. So this was...
It's tricky. He's a tricky little bugger. He's tricky. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to withdraw from this thing. And yeah. I guess technically he signaled that he did, except we were never in it to begin
with. We were never in it. So we were never in it to begin with.
Okay. Tricky. Tricky little man.
Yeah, I mean, I remember TPP being like a big deal, like them withdrawing from it, and then it felt like everybody realized, wait, we were never really in it. But there was this theme across the entire like presidency, Trump presidency, is pulling us out of deals that he deemed to be not beneficial to the United States. Whether you agreed with him on that is neither here nor there, but that was kind of a, I would call one of the cornerstones of his presidency, even beyond the 100 days.
Yes, agreed. So then he said that he was going to cancel every unconstitutional executive action, memorandum, or order issued by President Obama. What playground bullshit?
Well, it's also a very, like, broad thing.
Right, like everything?
Yeah.
Really?
But also, it's interesting because it's not the president's job to declare something unconstitutional.
No,
it's the Supreme Court's job. So it's this weird, like, this isn't your job.
Right. Are you saying that he's usurping power? I just cannot believe that Trump would do that.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, like, if you would have phrased it as, like, roll back every executive memorandum and order issued by President Obama, that's to me like, okay, great. You understand, like, you can do that.
Yeah.
Biden has rolled back Trump things. Trump rolled back Obama things. You know, that's a pretty normal thing to do. But you can't declare something unconstitutional. That's not your job.
That's not your job. That's not something you can do. So an executive order, this is still from NPR, an executive order is legally binding as long as it doesn't violate existing law. It is also publicly recorded in the Federal Register. Presidential memos, while presidents have treated them as interchangeable with orders, do not have to be published in the Federal Register. An executive action is more of a catch-all term that is not legally significant on its own, so he doesn't even really know what he's talking about. Trump, at the time, had not laid out all of the orders, memos, and actions he considered unconstitutional, so it was hard for people to say how much progress he had made. On March 27, within his first 100 days, Trump revoked three of Obama's executive orders relating to federal contractors, which included protections for women and LGBT workers. So fuck us.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah. And then he said he was going to end, this is the last one for Trump, and he said he was going to end illegal immigration fully, and the End Illegal Immigration Act fully, funds the construction of a wall, we remember, mm-hmm. and our southern border with the full understanding that the country of Mexico will be reimbursing the United States for the full cost of such a wall. Well, we have no way to, like, enforce that.
Send the bill. Invoice.
Just invoice. Send them the invoice. QuickBooks is great. Have you heard? The act also established a 2-year mandatory minimum federal prison sentence for illegally reentering the United States after a previous deportation, and a 5-year mandatory minimum for illegally reentering for those with felony convictions, multiple misdemeanor convictions, or 2 or more prior deportations. It also reformed visa rules to enhance penalties for overstaying and to ensure jobs are offered to American workers first. So that's what he wanted to do. At the time, no bill with the name had been introduced to Congress. President Trump's first budget proposal included a request for $2.6 billion to begin construction of a wall on the southern border. But Congress obviously was not willing to spend money on that project that was expected to cost upwards of $20 billion. The White House pressed congressional Republicans at the time to include some funding for the wall in a spending bill that would keep the government open past April 28th. What was absolutely clear was that Mexico was not going to foot the bill for the wall. And the Mexican president, Enrique Peña Nieto, says his country, quote, absolutely will not pay, close quote, for the wall. So
absolutely
he was
not.
Like,
no. Absolutely not. Absolutely no. Also, not. And absolutely no. Has not.
No.
That never no. happened.
And update, the wall is like, the wall became then, we're like filling in sections of gaps in the wall. Like the yes. wall, as he talked about it, has not been built. There will it's already room were divider. Pieces of wall there. It is a room divider.
We have room dividers. And yeah, it's, I obviously have feelings about the wall. That would take 45 minutes. I could talk about it. But the thing that was always crazy to me was this. Like, Mexico is never going to pay for the wall and never will. It was, we paid for it. And I think that's insane. Insane. Okay. I'm all for, like, looking at immigration reform and how we can, you know, make the process, like, just bring it up to 2021, people. I mean, like, it's, we spend so much time and effort on parts of, quote, immigration reform that do nothing to reform the actual system of immigration, that it's just, this was always bananas to me. And I am glad that it only was able to become a room divider.
Yes.
So that was a little bit of Trump's 100 days. Obviously, more things happened than we highlighted. But again, we're just touching on different elements of it. And so now let's talk about Biden's 100 days, since that marker is coming up. And the whole reason we're doing this episode, so what he's done so far, or not done so far in his 100 days. So this is coming from 538's Politics Chat with Sarah Frostenson, Julia Azari, Perry Bacon Jr., and Jeffrey Skelly.
And it's, so a lot of the, like, there's a question posed, what has Biden done? And there are various quotes. So these quotes are from this transcript of this podcast.
Much of his first 100 days has focused on getting Americans relief and trying to stimulate the economy through a $1.9 trillion COVID-19 aid package, in addition to ramping up vaccination efforts. Biden has also shown that he's willing to push for big, ambitious proposals that show just how far left the Democratic Party moved during the Donald Trump presidency.
Yeah.
But what actually has he done? So the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill passed. It was massive and more than twice the size of the stimulus bill passed in Barack Obama's early days amidst the Great Recession of 2009. The federal government's distribution of COVID-19 vaccines at such an accelerated pace and moving to expand eligibility as quickly as it has is probably the most important thing any president has done since George W. Bush's actions in the aftermath of 9/11. I mean, yeah, in both instances, you have a massive tragedy and it requires immediate response, regardless of if you agree with the response or not. I mean, I know people obviously have very strong opinions about how Bush handled 9/11, and people have very strong opinions about how Biden responded to COVID upon becoming president.
Yep.
So far, only 7 laws have been enacted, according to GovTrack, which would certainly be on the smaller end of things historically. Many presidents have signed 10 or more laws in their first 100 days. It's interesting because I'm like, that is small. But then I think about the COVID bill, which is huge. So it's all kind of like relative on what you know, how you look at it. Of course, the complication here is that laws have been getting bigger over time. So pure count doesn't tell the whole story. So I'm finger on the pulse.
I'm sorry. Look at you.
Finger on the pulse. Well, yeah, I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, he hasn't done 10 bills, but also the COVID relief bill was gigantic.
Yeah.
It was ginormous.
Yeah. Biden has been far more active than his immediate predecessors at undoing past action. So far, Biden has issued 40 executive orders. 19 of those revoke prior orders. At this point, Trump had issued 23 executive orders. 7 of them had revoked prior orders. Obama, 19 at this point. 7 revoked prior orders. Bush, 11. And 5 revoked prior orders. So, like, yeah, like half of his executive orders have revoked prior action. And then, you know, if that means that, like, dreamers get to stay in this country, that's amazing.
Bless up.
The number of non-symbolic Biden actions early in his term has exceeded the 100-day total for all predecessors except FDR. So, like, yeah, so he's been doing a lot.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, like, doing like a look back at 100 days, but, like, knowing what happened to FDR and then afterwards. And then,
right.
Like, looking at Biden's 100 days and being like, I wonder what's going to happen.
I wonder what's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, I think his 100 days will always be defined by COVID response.
Oh, yeah, I think. Absolutely.
There's just like, you know, Roosevelt's was defined by the Great Depression. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
There was definitely a response, and I think the vaccinations the ramp up of vaccinations has obviously been great, and just getting it organized and on track, and hopefully by, you know, the next, like, his 200 day marker, people are vaccinated. You know, the majorities of Americans are vaccinated. Everybody is eligible, I think, as of now. So. Yeah. Like
except children,
16 and up, I think generally is for the current vaccinations that are available. If you're 16 and older in this country, you are eligible to get your vaccination. So I will just say, please get vaccinated. We are doing an episode very soon on the FDA and vaccinations. So if you want to have more information about that, stay tuned for our next episode? I don't know how
time works. It's the next episode. Check her out.
Our next episode is coming out. So a little teaser there. But I wanted to wrap up this episode on 100 days with just like the shortest of fun facts. It's not even like fun facts, but I saw this Hill article by Jane Hampton Cook who like listed out the presidents who had like the worst 100 days for various reasons. Oh my God,
that's
reasons.
The list I want to know about. That is absolutely the list I want to see.
It's hilarious. I just pulled a couple. Some we've already talked about and some we haven't. So the first one, JFK has considered one of the worst 100 days simply because of Bay of Pigs and how poorly that went.
Sure.
The next worst 100 days is Lincoln because before he was inaugurated, 7 states had seceded from the Union. And after he was inaugurated, 4 more seceded. So it's like,
oh, poor guy.
He became president.
Nobody likes me.
Nobody likes me. And then people are seceding. It's no good.
Mm-mm.
The next worst, and this is, I'm not saying these in order of like actual worstness. This is just a list that I compiled. So the next one is Ronald Reagan because he was Holy shot.
That would suck. I mean, at any point in your administration, but certainly within the first 100 days.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, Hinckley, give me a sec.
No good.
Right?
No good.
What do you want?
And then finally, the person who I think had the worst presidential 100 days, this is number one in my book, is William Henry Harrison because he fully died.
Yeah, that bites.
And you
die in office in your first 100 days? Man, you spend all that time getting elected and then you're like, I gotta go with God now.
No. I gotta go with God. He died because he caught pneumonia because he was out in the cold for too long at his own inauguration.
Oh, a sensitive boy.
Henry.
A sensitive
William boy. Henry Harrison. Aww. Fully died. Fully died.
So ass died.
I think everybody has their own opinions, especially about our modern presidents, about who had a bad first 100 days. Nobody has yet to beat William Henry Harrison.
Who straight up died.
Who straight up died. And this was, like a month. Like, this wasn't on day 99. This was very early into his presidency that he died. Poor so butter. That's the end of my fun facts, and that is the end of our presidential 100 days episode.
Yes.
I mean, wow. Yep. I'm curious to see how the history remembers Biden's 100 days. Only time will tell. Yeah. But in the meantime, we obviously love you so, so much. And if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. You can rate us. You can review us. You can subscribe to us. We love you so, so much. And we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.